Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescott in the gun, back and looking, well protected, deep to the middle, and the ball is intercepted at the 30-yard line. Intended for Lamb, and Tyrann Mathieu stole it right back.
The first pick was not Dak's fault. The second one was. Good morning, Metroplex. Humiliation, Green Bay 2.0. Here on the Home of the Cowboys with Sean RJ, our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Carter running things live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. I guess I'll save my Deuce Vaughn question for 8:40. Bobby wants to focus on passing versus running in today's NFL. So I'll throw the Cowboys run game into below the belt and kind of tell him what to do during his own segment. But I do want to know, is Deuce Vaughn just not good? Like, seriously, I'm rooting for the story. I'm rooting to be right based on last year's preseason. Like, what is going on with Deuce Vaughn? Because, Bobby, I think you gave us the tidbit a few weeks ago. Don't be surprised. It seems like Jerry Jones wants Deuce Vaughn to succeed and thrive, and nothing is happening when he's getting the football. Now, normally I'm thinking in my own head, that's all offensive line. Running back knows where to run. If there's a hole and Deuce Vaughn can get to the second level, this guy can actually break one. The most breakaway ability in that running back room, but he never gets anything, and I want to know why. Maybe we'll get to it more at 8:40 because we have more of your calls, your Odyssey messages, and RJ Choppy has his options with the list of Cowboy blame
games. All right, here are the culprits, Sean and Bobby. Culprits are Mike Zimmer, Mike McCarthy, defensive line, Dak, Micah, and Lamb. And
Lamb.
I put CeeDee Lamb on there because
you wrote something very harsh in your email last night.
Not let that 65-yard touchdown fool you, okay? He broke two tackles because he didn't even break them. They were bad. They were bad tackling attempts.
Yeah.
Other than that, he had three catches for, 15 yards? Or 25 yards, so eight?
And, yeah, I mean, they took him away.
They were missing Lattimore.
Yeah.
Like, the Cowboys, I'll take that trade-off. Cowboys going to miss Jake Ferguson? Okay. They're missing Marshawn Lattimore? Okay.
Yeah, so you're going up against Kool-Aid. Great name. Mm-hmm. You know, good player, but young. And generally players take some time.
And flawed, even coming out of school right. Was flawed.
So, I mean, look, his numbers, I don't believe match the game. That was not a game, and this is now two games, where he was not great in week one. He wasn't bad, but again, it was not great. And this one, kind of the same thing.
I thought he's the very least.
Very least of their worries.
Someone I had a Tolo. By the way, the New Orleans Saints, Tom Brady kept talking about their physicality. I mentioned last week how Dennis Allen gave Tom Brady fits. Probably him and Spagnuolo gave Tom the biggest fits during his career. He kept talking about how tough and physical they were. I don't know if a team could have timed out more punishing hits than the Saints did yesterday to the Cowboys. Yeah. And, I mean, it was highlight reel hits, and they were clean. And one of the ones was on Lamb, and I had this Tolo being like, I can't stand the way. Why can't CD high point a ball or be like Dez Bryant? You know, man, and I'm not trying to trigger Dez or his exes or everyone on CeeDee Lamb, better football player and better receiver than Dez Bryant. All right? Stop. Okay, so maybe he doesn't have the same jump ball ability That was a perfectly timed crack in the end zone. So for any Dez stuff, stop. Stop with, ooh, Dez was here. Dez Bryant was done. Finished,
well, yeah.
Fried, finished at the end. Stop comparing CeeDee Lamb to Dez Bryant. They're totally different players. Now, CeeDee Lamb's better than Dez Bryant.
Dez is more physical,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
Dez was a more physically gifted player. CeeDee's yeah. a better, like, CeeDee is a better receiver.
He's a tactician. It's just completely different, you know? Like, CeeDee's a much better route runner. Dez was a freak. He was a physical
yeah.
freak.
Zion.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
yeah.
He's kind of like Zion.
Yeah, I mean, like he was just a physically ridiculous receiver. It's just he didn't play the position the same way.
But your number one of the blame game is D-line?
D-line, they got embarrassed. They got blown off the ball at every spot. The defensive tackles got nothing. Nothing. I mean, you get defensive tackles not even showing up on a tackle box score. They had no answers for anything that the Saints offensive line was trying to throw at them. And then I put Zim. The blame. And the Brady comments just keep sticking in my head that he could not dial up anything on third down because they were never in third and long, which is partly Zim's fault.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get him off the field. But then again, the players, what blame do the players play for not having in third down? And Zim famously said in that article where the Minneapolis Star Tribune from a couple of weeks ago, when he said, do you want to address the team after you got fired? He goes, hell no. Those are the guys that got me fired.
Yeah.
Right? So coaches, players, Jimmy's and Joe's, X's and O's, which one it is. It's chicken and egg. I think the D-line was the one. That was the number one reason. If you ask me the number one reason why they lost this game, defensive line was, I mean, completely embarrassed in this thing. Emasculated.
Out of the names you gave, I would rank it D-line's one, Zimmer's two, Dak is three. Mike is 4, McCarthy 5, CeeDee 6.
I think that's pretty much how I would do it, too.
However, whatever order you want with defensive personnel and Zimmer, I mean, easily, clearly, top two. 1 and 2, and far distant third with anything else. Well, and Dak Prescott is not 3.
You don't think so?
No. They scored on 4 of the first 5 drives. They were on pace to score 32, but they scored 16 points in the first half. That's a very good 13. First half. What?
It was 13, right? It was 28-13.
35-13.
They scored 16 points at halftime. 16.
Yeah, no, Sean's right. It's 35.
They scored 16. 13 points in the second quarter. Okay? Like, I'm not going to let people change the thoughts of football in general. He was not good in the second half. It was a terrible second interception. He got screwed on the first one. Their offense was they weren't totally matching because they need to be better in the red zone. They need to finish with touchdowns. But if you score 16 points in the first half, that's good. I'm not going to let people, because you hate Dak Prescott's guts, change that. No, no one, I don't care if it's Brian Broaddus, Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, 16 points in the first half is fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
And it might be more than fine.
Well, 32 for the game is
You score 32 in the season, you're leading the league in points.
You probably are.
I mean, Brandon Aubrey's on pace to break the NFL record in field goals right now. like, I mean, to me, that's... Dak's got to be better when they cross the 40.
He was fine.
He hasn't been.
He wasn't good. He was fine, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Dak was necessarily a problem.
I'm not saying he was good.
Yeah.
He was better than the Green Bay game, no doubt. He looked like he was choking. Like, visibly, it looked like he was shriveling up and throwing the ball into the stands in the Packer playoff game. That was not the case yesterday. They have to finish.
What's happening?
But he's not
here?
Third.
What's happening here when I'm taking the anti-Dak side and you're having to hold up the mantle?
I don't know.
See, you're doing this, though. You're doing this just for... Just to say...
You're trying to be balanced.
You know what you're doing? You're doing a Bill Belichick at the end of half or at the end of a game. You're trying to skew the analytics.
On to Baltimore.
That's what you're doing. You're trying to skew the analytics here.
Let's get to Jeff and Keller. Jeff, you're live here on Sean and RJ.
Boys, I'll be honest. This phone call would be going totally different if my Lions didn't do what they did yesterday. But I'll tell you this much. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Relax. If you were to tell me 2 weeks ago Baltimore and Cincinnati be 0-2, that Minnesota with Sam Darnold seeing ghosts beat San Fran, Dallas got blown out by basically a new concept, new team up in the New Orleans. I mean,
Raiders, Ravens.
I mean, I'm just telling. I mean, and the Chiefs didn't look that great. Houston damn sure hasn't looked that great. They've had to struggle against two bad quarterbacks and two lousy teams to where they're at. I, you know, a lot is said about players preseason. Detroit's game loss was coaching. You know, when Cincinnati and Baltimore are 0-2, I don't know if these coaches are season ready yet. You know, coming out of preseason. I mean, it's with choppy noses. Every college football Saturday, there's one Saturday where it's nothing but carnage. And I think that this was it. I dare, as much as I dislike the Cowboys, there's no way that that score was indicative of those teams.
What a call from Jeff.
Yeah, he's spot on there because it is early, and none of these teams really know who they are yet. And this is the product of a lack of preseason, right? You're just, you know, you're figuring out who you are. And he's right about the college thing. There is that Saturday every year. It's Carnage Saturday.
Jeff is a Lions fan. This is Nate in Detroit on the Odyssey app. Nate, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing? It's my first time calling.
Thanks for calling, man. Thanks for listening and calling.
Yeah, my question is, Coach, and I've been a Cowboys fan since 75. And I remember when Jerry Jones first bought the team, he fired Tom Landry. My question is, do you think they need to hire a new, more younger, innovative coach on offense and defense?
Yes.
Because it seems like these older coaches, the Shanahan coaching tree, they can't even handle it.
Thanks for the call, Nate.
Look,
this is what you wanted for the defensive coordinator. And Bobby, before the question is being completed, with the phone calls, already talking about it, yes, for the offensive side.
Look, I mean, I think, you know, younger elite coaching is what everybody really wants, except for Jerry Jones. This team has operated, and, you know, they did. We made fun of this back in 2016. They operate under the same philosophies they operated from in the 90s. Guess what they won with? You know, value the running back, value the linebackers. I mean, this team drafted, I mean, how many linebackers did they draft in the first round over like a 6-year stretch? Or high, not even first round, first and second round over like the 10-year stretch. They just operate differently. That's the way it is. And we kind of have to get used to it. When Mike's not the coach anymore, they're not going to hire some assistant from Kyle Shanahan's coaching tree because Jerry doesn't want to train in the job.
I'd put Jerry and Steven up here on the list of blame game over Dak Prescott because this is the defensive personnel you have. We know what their weakness is. We know what their Achilles heel is, and you didn't do anything to solve it. Now, they're going to try to say Mozzie and Overshown need to take steps. Yes, that's true. You get Diggs back, but we know they didn't really address anything with the meat of their defensive line. You had a year to be already worried or evaluate Mozzie Smith. They can't have everything, but this was your number one weakness, I thought, as a football team. We all thought. It's just not cool to talk about the running game anymore in today's new school NFL. It can still zap the life out of you and crush and break your spirit. That's always what happens to this football team, especially when they get punched first. They fold. Ryan and McKinney. Ryan, you're up next on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple things. First, with Dak Prescott, I see through the past few years, he doesn't know how to read defenses.
You know, he finished second in the MVP last year, right?
Yeah, I do understand that. And one of the big reasons why is, number one, he's in one of the worst divisions in NFL.
Fair.
So that pads a lot of his stats.
Okay.
Two, they play really well at home.
Yeah.
And the teams that they played were
not studs over 500.
Yep. They're bullies.
Yes. Exactly. So that's why he played so well during the regular season. Second, with the playoffs, I just think he's too overwhelmed.
He reads defenses like you talk on the phone with a call. We got to run, Ryan. I'm sorry. I had to get that joke in. I thought it was a funny joke, and we're up against it. But look, there's two ways you're going to go about this. All right? Yesterday's game, you want to isolate it and keep it to that, or do you want to win your overall point? Dak is politics. Dak Prescott is politics. I, fair as F, t-shirts being made because I can be very objective, and I am very objective. I can isolate and keep it to one thing versus the grand scheme of things. Do I think Dak Prescott is going to win the Cowboys a Super Bowl? I do not think that. Can they? If everything lines up perfectly, yeah, I think there's a small possibility. So that's the bigger discussion. Do you want to win your bigger discussion argument? Or do you want to be like, you know what? My candidate, they were wrong in this moment. Or do you want to, what about you, and redirect every single possible thing so that you win the grand scope of why you are on the left or on the right or in the middle? And anyone who wants to blame Dak Prescott or have that be the first words out of your mouth for yesterday, you just want to win your argument. That's all it is. You want to make it a political fight. You do. There's no other way to look about it. You cannot go outside of Mike Zimmer, the defense, the personnel given. You can't take it to the quarterback for yesterday. You can't. You want to do it for the Green Bay game? Fine. Maybe let you have that. But not yesterday. Well,
that's not a fine. That's a definitely yes.
The other football team cannot have their first stop. You cannot stop them for the first time in the fourth quarter and then talk to me about the quarterback first. You want to make an overall argument? Well, I have this father-in-law discussion that I have every single week? Fine. You want to zoom out and get mad that they paid him? Fine. Not yesterday. You can't do it yesterday first. He's not good. Not very good. But he's not one or two. Come on now, y'all. Speaking of politics, a second assassination attempt on President Trump. And were you able to watch everything you did on your TV that you actually paid for? That's next, also on the Home of the Rangers with Sean and RJ.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the pitch swung on and a high drive hit to left center field. That's hit well into the wind. Back at the wall, Leody Taveras. It's out of here. Mitch Garver hits one through the wind. A three-run homer. It's 3-0 Seattle in the first.
Rangers get blank 7-0 yesterday. No one cares about that. We don't care. All we care about is Jacob DeGrom and maybe a little bit of Max Scherzer as DeGrom debuted on Friday night.
He did, and I was pumped. I was excited to watch him. This was something that it was one of the few things I had left to look forward to with the Texas Rangers this year.
You're young, Bob. Oh, with the Rangers.
And he is, there was, everything was on display, I think, that reminded you that DeGrom is really impressive, and he's still that guy.
Like 99.
The velocity was really good. The movement was good. The ability to just kind of command the strike zone, put the ball exactly where he wanted. Yeah. That's all great. It was a little bit concerning when you look at some of the exit velocity numbers, some of the nerd numbers. So the hardest hit ball that DeGrom gave up against 115 batters last year before he got hurt was 108 miles per hour. It was a home run by Shea Langeliers. On Friday, he had balls that were hit 108.1, 108.2, and 112.1. So he gave up three batted balls that were hit harder than anything he gave up in that month that he pitched for them previously. So hopefully it's just some bad luck or just some rust. But I mean, when you talk about heading this game, Scherzer, same sort of thing. He returned this weekend. His two hardest hit balls of the season came against the Mariners, and it's not exactly like the Mariners are the exit velocity kings that everybody's just all over the way that they hit the baseball. But both Scherzer and DeGrom got hit harder in this game than they have recently.
I wonder in that, because the velocity was there, if the ball is flat, because his spin rate might not be where he wants it to be, just because it's going the same speed doesn't mean the spin on the ball is the same, and that would that spin obviously increases movement. And I wonder if the ball was just a little flat first time out.
Obviously, it's one start, so you can't compare it to data across the rest of the Major League Baseball. But his average exit velocity in this game was 94.5 miles per hour, which would be the very bottom percentile of all of Major League Baseball, if that kept up.
Really high, especially for him. So that makes me think that something just isn't there yet. And that's part of why it's important.
He said his legs were trembling. He was so nervous.
I mean,
gave himself, I think, like a C. I think that was his own grade.
Well, if you go 3 2/3, you strike out more than a strikeout an inning, you know, slightly more. And you don't allow any runs. I mean, that's you put that in the win column.
Yeah,
I was
encouraged by it. Every game in this series, by the way, up until yesterday, ended 5-4.
Yeah, they did. And I'll be interested to see his, how his bullpen goes. You know, if there's any kind of soreness there, you know, what he feels like. Because, you know, two Tommy Johns is not easy to come back from.
He had five balls that were hit over 100 miles per hour. Four of them were off the slider.
Oh. And then Scherzer was able to go ahead and get back out there. He went four innings, gave up five hits, two earned, two walks, two strikeouts. ERA for the season for Max, a 3.95. Jack Leiter making an appearance with four innings himself. He gave up three hits and two earned to have the ERA sit at 9.55 for Jack.
Scherzer was out of the three starters we were watching in a row there, Kumar, DeGrom. Scherzer was the one that I felt the least good about, where I was like, okay, it's clear we're getting near the end here for Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
All right, were you able to watch everything you wanted this weekend as our resolution came, RJ Choppy, with DirecTV?
It did come with DirecTV, and that was great. It happened, Friday? Friday night, I think it was the day it happened.
More
Saturday
like
morning. Yeah, Friday. But I was absolutely able to watch it. I was able to watch everything I needed to. Didn't have to worry about switching. Didn't have to worry about learning how to do a new remote. Didn't worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I could stick, but with overpaying for DirecTV. I'm a creature of habit.
How did this get solved? I know you did a lot of reading on it. I didn't have the energy.
I think what happened is DirecTV realized that they were not going to win this thing at all, because they've been averaging 1.5 million subscribers per year as a loss. At last check.
They've been losing 1.5 million?
They've been losing 1.5 million. At last check, they only have about 11 million customers left, which seems awfully low. If you asked me how many subscribers does DirecTV have, I would have said, I don't know, 100 million? I would have no frame of reference.
Yeah.
50 million? No idea. 11 is not the number I would have thought. And a couple of years ago, in 2021, in July of 2021, right before it spun DirecTV off in a deal with private equity, AT&T said it had 15 million subscribers remaining. So it's lost 4 million since July of 2021. And how many of those were in this? ESPN knows that they are the ultimate position of power. There is not a channel that is in more demand. Like, they can charge whatever they want because they own the rights to basically every league. And if you're a sports fan, you have one of two options. You either get ESPN, or through your cable provider, or you buy the app and you pay, you know, whatever it is, $100 for the year, $10 a month, whatever it is. So that's really what happened, is DirecTV was like, this, we're not going to win. We are not in a position of power anymore.
I took the advice of Bobby Belt and Jesse Holly, and I did sign up for YouTube TV.
The free trials.
And yesterday I canceled. Took me about four times. And they, I mean, they all intentionally make it a pain in the ass and very difficult
for
you.
Was it hard for you?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's usually, it's like for me, it's a portal. You just go in there, you click one button and confirm and it's done.
Have you canceled YouTube TV?
Yeah, I've like put it on pause or canceled it completely a few different times.
Well, maybe
on a free trial, you don't have a portal yet.
Oh, that may be, maybe having to do with the free trial. That may be the issue.
So, look, if it was just me, maybe, but my wife, she's got the favorites set up. We got the DVR for the shows. She knows the channels now. We're already switching over to something new with the DirecTV stream. So the price hasn't gotten out of whack yet because I'm still like a new customer with a new address. So and laziness all factored in. So I was happy this came to an end.
I was too.
And I'm still with the satellite.
Yeah, I get, you know.
Kinda.
I don't love it on, you know, when I have to use it on a like a Roku or an Amazon Fire Stick because, you know, I like the remote. But it's fine. It's fine for me. And it's not crazy expensive. So is it worth an extra 10, 15 bucks a month to not have to worry about switching? I don't know. Maybe.
Another assassination attempt on Donald Trump as he was golfing yesterday. And the Secret Service noticed an AK-47 sticking out of the bushes. They apparently fired about 4 shots towards the guy. He got in his car, took off. They eventually got him, and he is in police custody. Another three-namer.
Yeah. Do they all go by three names, or do they just identify them as that? So now it's
they identify him as that, so there's no confusion as to, like, it could be there could be two Ryan. His name is Ryan Ruth or Routh. There could be two Ryan Rouths out there, and they use the middle name to, you know, to differentiate. It's crazy. This is now, you know, this is 2 in 2 months. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Is this going to stop, or is this just kind of the world we're living in right now?
He apparently did not tell the authorities anything. Like, he was completely quiet. And in fact, it was David Ehrenberg, the state attorney for Palm Beach County, told CNN yesterday the guy knew enough to stay silent. He did not apparently speak to officers. He was calm, so it looked like a person who has done this before, not necessarily this crime, but someone who has had repeated interactions with law enforcement.
So his son did an interview, and his son did say that he has had, like, run-ins with the law before. Not, like, major crimes, but, you know, done stuff.
Not assassination
before.
Attempts.
Not assassination but, you know, attempts.
Jaywalking.
He stole some bubble gum. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, does this guy last 2 weeks?
What's that? Does he last?
Are they going to keep him quiet?
Oh, well, apparently he was making like a lot of like he was very pro Ukraine with social media stuff. And, you know, there's some who criticize Trump for not saying he wants Ukraine to win the war because he's boys with Putin and that whole thought that's out there. Mm-hmm. So they're theorizing that that was one of the things that pushed him over the edge or set him off because he wasn't pleased with President Trump and his take on the war. But this is another attempt. Now, Elon Musk is in a little bit of trouble. He deleted a tweet he sent out saying, oh, so no assassination attempts on Biden and Harris with a thinking emoji.
Oh, and well, that's not good.
No, that's not good.
That's not what you want to see.
But that's where we are now. You can come out and say that the other side and things that they've said are either trying to kill me themselves, they're like setting it up, or the things that they have said, the rhetoric is getting putting my life in jeopardy. Again, people are way too comfortable and have been calling someone a racist, and now you can just come out and say what you said got a bullet whizzing by my ear, or you just like somehow set it up yourself. You try to get me killed, and people are just comfortable with it. That's where we are today. Whereas, you know, that would normally be back in the day a pretty serious allegation and something you shouldn't say, that you tried to get me murdered and assassinated and killed. And now you can just go ahead and throw it out there.
It's I mean, what are the, like, so this guy was also in a commercial 2 years ago.
What?
And yeah, he was in a commercial for Ukraine. Like, it's like one of those, like, the propaganda commercial, whatever it's called, Azov. And then the first guy was in a BlackRock commercial. What are the, these are two, what are these, actors?
So what you're saying is for the possible third attempt to study.
Just study all commercials, all commercials from like 2020.
John Wilkes Booth was an actor. This is this is a thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So that's the story. Yesterday, my brother texted me this. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, is this blowing up on the news? Like, I was.
I mean, I heard it from you.
Yeah. I was like, what the heck is going on? So a second attempt.
Man, I keep getting like, I'm getting panicked. They're ready to clean the windows, and they keep I keep seeing like stuff flying down here, like ropes. Somebody's about to rappel down the window. It's freaking me out. Yeah, it's freaking me out.
You want to ask the guy if he's got three names out there?
I should. Yeah, just open up the blind. Just start knocking.
Did the passing game make a comeback in week two of the NFL season? And is Deuce Vaughn just not very good? That's next. And below the belt with Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
2:54 left, second quarter. Saints lead 21-13. Second and 10 at the Dallas 13. Carr under center. Handoff Kamara left side. Look at all the room. 5-yard line. First down. Did he get in the end zone? Touchdown, Saints.
Oh, baby. Is the running game back? It certainly was for Alvin Kamara and the New Orleans Saints. Yesterday, as the Cowboys got their asses kicked 44-19 at AT&T Stadium. And we just got some breaking news about the running game across the NFL. Isaac Pacheco heading to IR is what ESPN was saying up there, Sean.
Yep.
So Pacheco is out now.
They're going to have to go find
another, nobody running back to rush for 5 yards of carry for him and cover over all manner of sins when Patrick Mahomes plays as bad as he did yesterday. So that's what you got there. All right, so we talked about, and this is Below the Belt, sponsored by A Number One Air, so thank you to them. We talked last week about the idea of, is the running game making a little bit of a comeback? And how passing attacks have not been nearly as prolific in some of the recent data sets as we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years. In week one, we had just two guys that went for 300 passing yards, and that was the fewest in a week one since 2005. So we're talking about basically a 20-year low. If you look at the TNF game and then the slate of games that have been played already, there were three players. There's just one Monday night game left to play. There were three quarterbacks that threw for over 300 yards on Sunday. So again, way down. One of those guys who threw for 300 yards was Jared Goff, who went for 304 on 55 pass attempts, which is not efficient at all. Not at all able to do that.
Ice his arm, man. Jeez.
So running has been the main avenue of success for a lot of the teams that have won early on this season. So there were three teams that averaged 140 yards rushing per game last season. During this week two slate already with one game left, 10 teams went for over 140 yards. Some of the numbers were like ridiculously off the charts. Chargers rushed for 219. Saints were 190. Packers got 261. Washington had 215. In fact, through 2 weeks of the season, there have been NFL teams, there have been four performances of 300 net pass yards or more. So one of those 300-yard passing games had a sack in there that brought their net passing yards below 300. There have been five games of 200 rushing yards. So teams now are starting to run at a like ridiculously prolific level. We're on pace right now for 63 games of 185 rushing yards from NFL teams. Last year, there were 42.
Mm.
Wow.
Good. I'm happy about it. I know it makes RJ sick, but I kind of like when you get big reversals in trends. I don't know if this is an actual trend, but the league did everything they could to screw over defenses. And really to go away from run games. And it's not good for the Cowboys because this is their weakness and has been their weakness, but the league keeping it alive for the first 2 weeks.
You have me pegged wrong here, sir. It does not make me sick. I am all about efficiency. That's all I care about.
Oh,
and if the efficiency of the running game has changed and improved, then I have no problem taking a look at that. It's still boring to me, and the only thing it'll do for me is it'll just cause me not to watch. Mm. But other than that, yeah, it's all about efficiency.
No, and I mean this is where like you're seeing teams. It's not just like we talked about yesterday with New Orleans. Alvin Kamara's longest run was 15 yards. It's not like he broke a 40-yarder in there, did anything else. This is like teams are having a lot of success just methodically moving the ball 5, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time running the ball. Last year, it was actually the Ravens led the NFL in rushing at 156 yards per game. That was the absolute top of the level in the NFL was 156 yards. If you look at these first couple weeks of the season, the NFL teams are going way over that consistently. There have already been 14 games of 156 rushing yards.
Maybe it's, you know, no physicality in training camps and offseason hurting run defenses. I don't know. Discussion for another day. But it's hard to, you know, completely judge the Cowboys' run game yesterday because they were getting their ass kicked and destroyed and embarrassed and humiliated and emasculated and all the above. But they ran for 68 total yards. Zeke had 6 for 16. Rico, I thought, got off to a decent start. Mm-hmm. He had 7 for 30. But Deuce Vaughn, I want to talk about Deuce Vaughn. 4 carries, 11 yards, 2.8 with the average. His longest run was 4 yards. Week 1 against Cleveland, 1 carry for 4 yards. You had heard Jerry Jones in an interview, Bobby, that you kind of took note of. I think it was on this station. Bring up Deuce's name, and you had said, I think they might want to, they might be trying to force Deuce Vaughn involvement this year. And at no time in the regular season can I ever remember Deuce's abilities getting loose. He had the epic preseason last year. And I am just like automatically thinking when a running back doesn't break any, he's not getting any holes. But is there something to Deuce's like vision or his game? And yesterday I tweeted and I asked, is Deuce Vaughn just not good? Because he never breaks free for anything. And I got 132 comments back to me on X. Here's some of them. I think he's not suited to the league. Too small. Our offensive line also is not good enough. Leaning towards O-line, not making lanes. You can't get in a rhythm being constantly pulled after one play. That man, from Tolo Matthew.
That's a big one for me. There's amount of the amount. I think the three-headed monster is too much. They need to shrink it down to two, because you can't get into a rhythm. Now, maybe there's no rhythm to get into because these guys' rhythm isn't any good because they're not very good as a whole. But you know, there is two things you could hit the hole. Like you could be given a hole by an offensive line, but you hit it too fast, right before it opens up, or you hit it too late,
yeah,
because you're slow. But like there is such a thing as being too quick to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if that's the case. I haven't studied it enough, but you know, for 4 carries, like just that's a sample size that just isn't there.
Tolo David, he's just too small, can't break a tackle. Nice story, but just not an NFL player. Another Tolo, enough with the story. Bring up Dalvin, dude. He's 4 foot tall. WTF? Do you want him to do? What are you seeing? What are you hearing, Bobby?
So, I think yesterday was confusing to me. I don't know why Zeke was getting all the like runs to the perimeter. Zeke was getting runs to the perimeter. The couple carries that Deuce got, everything was inside.
Yeah.
Which was a little odd to me.
Total opposite.
Yeah. They were doing some stuff on offense yesterday that I didn't I've not seen them do. And I don't know why they were. I don't know if it's just, hey, we got to figure out some way to kind of combat this and respond to, you know, what defenses are doing to us physically. I don't know if it was just some sort of changeup trying to, you know, throw curveballs. But Deuce, yeah. Okay. Getting into a rhythm, that's important. Everything else. There was one run there, I think it was his second carry of the game, where he had a lane, and he ran into, like, the offensive lineman blocking somebody, where it was just, I don't know what he saw or why he wasn't able to jump cut quickly enough to get out, you know, get to the hole, but he runs into the offensive lineman, gets wrapped up. His big problem has always been as soon as a defender gets hands on him, they're concerned that he's not going to be able to break that, that he's going to go down, they're not going to get any yards after contact. He's got to be in space. He's got to be, I mean, we would think it's nuts if you're handing off stuff to Turpin to then run in the interior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Christopher Smith said that they're running him in the middle, not trying to get him in space. Seems like they should be doing the opposite.
They got to use him like more like Turpin than they would if he was a running back.
I think it's also important to remember he was a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Like he's a sixth round running back.
Pacheco was a seventh.
Right, yeah, but I mean, I think that, you know, you're talking about
one seventh round good player doesn't mean it applies. Yeah, you're a sixth and a seventh round pick for a reason.
Right, but like
98% of the time.
We don't see the great running backs today aren't like first rounders anymore.
I know, I'm saying I think we're surprised when a sixth rounder is really good. We're not surprised when a sixth rounder isn't Isaiah Pacheco. Like to me, that's kind of reasonable expectation. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people felt like Deuce would have been I think talking to most evaluators, the idea was if he were 4 inches taller, he would have been a second, third round pick, probably. But he still had long speed questions. He was not like a big long speed guy. He's an agile, like joystick type of runner. And you talking about this made me remember, I was like, let me go reach out. I know we did a segment right after the draft last year where the segment, it had come up the question of, was Deuce Vaughn a charity pick? Like, did the Cowboys pick somebody who nobody else would have picked? And so I wanted to jump back and look, and I was like, I asked people outside of Dallas, what did they think of him and if it was a charity selection? And I got three replies back. One personnel guy said, definitely not a charity selection, change of pace back with vision, athleticism, and a solid pass-catching skill. He went in the right range. Another guy said, had him in the fifth round. He's got incredible change of direction, quick mental processing, zero fear running inside, incredibly tough. Plus pass catcher, the size limits how much you can have him on the field, though. Sometimes a bit too eager to bounce it outside instead of letting things develop in front of him. And then the most negative review said, he was late day three for me. Had some backs I liked more that didn't get drafted. Love the elusiveness, but size and athletic limitations are just too significant for him to contribute in a meaningful way. Not for us, but went around later than I thought he would. So that last review sounds like the player we've seen.
He averaged 6 and 5.5 yards per carry his last 2 years of college. And that includes 50 catches and 40 catches in those 2 years for 9 and 9.5 yards per reception. He was a draftable player. And if he was a charity case, you know, that's not great. He wasn't. But, like, I mean, he wouldn't be the first. Mike Piazza was. He went to the Hall of Fame. He was 64th round or whatever. Like, it happens.
I'm not ready to just completely write him off. I think there's a way that he can contribute because some of the elusiveness is really impressive. He is very quick. He's very agile. You got to use him in the right way, though.
Yeah.
And I know Brian Schottenheimer was working on, we talked about it at the end of last season. He's like, hey, I want you to start running some routes. Work with Brandon Cooks. I want you to start learning how to contribute in doing some stuff maybe from the slot. Find different ways to use him. That's fine. But, man, the way it can't be is not, let's have Zeke with his 4.7 speed at, you know, 29 years old, run everything outside, and let's try to put Deuce on the interior. I don't know what was going on there. I think that he can be a contributor. He's never going to be a full-time back because there are just natural limitations there.
So if Dak calls the plays, is that Dak's fault for running him inside?
That's not a ha-ha thing. I said today, that's why I think Dak is largely responsible for a lot of what happened yesterday. I think Dak was in control of the offense, and I don't think it was particularly good. I don't think they were in plays consistently enough that were going to take advantage of what New Orleans had in front of them. It wasn't a good day for him, period. As somebody diagnosing things pre-snap or, you know, in terms of some of the reads that he had. Now, I think to the point about Dak throwing the interception, there were a lot of people crushing the second interception he threw, which it was an awful throw. To me, it's 11 minutes left in the fourth. You're down 20 points. That's the time to throw that to see if you can make something happen. To me, I don't care when you're down 20 if you make a stupid throw to try and get some of it back.
Me neither.
And so some of that criticism, I thought, was a little bit over the top. To the Dalvin Cook question, I do think we're getting close to being able to, there's our window washer.
Dang,
I do think we're getting close to seeing Dalvin Cook getting an opportunity to be active for these games.
I hope so.
I hope he's got the quickness. I hope he's good enough.
What? I don't care. It's better than it can't be worse than
they need
what
they to make a
have.
Trade. They need to make a trade. That's what they need to do. They need to go find somebody who a team has a surplus of running backs and they need to make a value trade.
Well, the Chiefs might be on the phone with them right now.
Yeah.
And San Fran. I mean, San Fran doesn't need it, but
right, you know, San Fran's got their guy right now.
Let Trey Lance run the ball for you, you know?
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line on your home of the Cowboys. I got crushed yesterday by a lot of Twolos, not on Twitch, but on Twitter. Did the Cowboys really have the worst loss of the day? That's next on Sean and RJ. And then Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com at 920, right here, final hour on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.